My beloved people, I will be very brief today because I started out so late this morning, but be that as it may, we will continue, and I bring to your attention that these little palm crosses are here in this little bowl. Please come up here and help yourself to all of them, ourselves to all of them. Bring them home with you and place them about your houses. These crosses were blessed three times. First time was on Palm Sunday itself. Then on April the 29th, which was the feast of St. Peter the Martyr, and there's a special blessing that is placed on these crosses on that particular day. And then again on the feast of the finding of the Holy Cross, which was May the 3rd, and another very special blessing is placed on the crosses on that day. And the blessings are against storm, against sickness, against fire and destruction and such like. So I encourage you to take these crosses and place them about your houses in strategic places. Not as any manner of any way of superstition, but by way of the fact that we do believe in blessing. And the blessing of Almighty God has been called upon three different times on these crosses. They're a little dry now, but that's perfectly all right. They still carry the blessings. So place them about, take them with you. And may Almighty God's special blessing be upon you and those you love most. Today is Mother's Day. And a day which should be dedicated to that which is very special. What does Mother's Day signify to a world today, when the very name, the very word of mother is now used in somewhat of a blasphemous manner than in a very reverential manner, which would be indicative of what mother really is? Mother comes from God, and mother is a very special, special creation of God. And it is through mother that the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, came to this earth. He came through no other pattern, through no other path, but the path through mother. And the place of mother then is very high in the sight of God. And it is only through mother in all the races of the earth that God's creation can function. Let us therefore look upon her not as someone who is to do the work of creation, but someone who has the privilege of the work of creation. And it is she who comes closest to Almighty God in manufacturing or manifesting the creation than any other, because she is in direct cooperation with the handiwork of God himself. And it is through her that his hand is raised in the act of creation. Our world doesn't comprehend that today. And that particular part of mother is being blasphemed and devastated by all who have the ways and the means to do just that. So let us exalt mother as she needs and deserves to be exalted. It would ill behoove us on such a day, when we speak of mother, that we do not also speak primarily and underline it, underscore it, the Blessed Mother herself. The Blessed Mother suffers violence. And she suffers violence from those who should offer her protection. Of all the creatures of God, she is the most wonderful and the most beautiful and the most excellent. And she has been greatly rewarded for this. And in heaven she is our queen. And if we truly want something very, very much, we go to her. As a matter of fact, she has been referred to as the co-redemptrix. As she walked side by side, her son, and the two of them worked together to redeem us. And being especially attached to her son, and being there at her son's most terrible moment, we know we can appeal to her and ask her to help us in our bad moments. Our Blessed Mother should hold in our house, our houses, under the sun, the foremost place. Never a day should pass without us referring ourselves to her, in great manner or in lesser manner. But we should refer ourselves to her every single day. And the best way to refer ourselves to her is through the saying of the Holy Rosary. We should never permit, except for grave reasons, a day to pass without us saying the Rosary. So, my beloved people, today I recommend you to her in a special manner, and I ask her, in the name of her crucified Son, to grant unto you and to yours the most beautiful day possible, my beloved friends. My beloved people, the main point that I wish to bring to your attention this morning is that next Sunday is the Feast of Pentecost. I think that we, over the years, have come to look upon Pentecost as just another ordinary day. It is not exactly that. The Feast of Pentecost, together with Easter, are the two largest and the most important feasts of the entire year. Probably because the reason why we have come to look upon Pentecost as being somewhat of an unimportant standing, maybe the symbolisms of Pentecost have something to do with it. And maybe we come to look upon the Holy Spirit as something like a pigeon, and because we always show the dove descending. And perhaps we have lost respect for the Holy Spirit because of that. But the Holy Spirit is God. He is equal to the Father and the Son. And the Son is equal to the Spirit and the Father. And the Father is equal to the Son and the Spirit. And yet there are three persons, but there's one God. The Holy Spirit is God, as important as the Father and as important as the Son. And it is through Him, the Holy Spirit, that we receive the grace of understanding. We should, during these days, as been noted in the bulletin this morning, that we are in the midst of our novena to the Holy Spirit, which ends next Saturday. And during this period of time, if we make a little novena, that we should pray to the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, for the gift of wisdom. You know, when Solomon was asked what gift he preferred over any other, and he had his choice to pick anything he wished, he chose wisdom. And it is in wisdom that we come to understand, that we come to grasp the Word of Almighty God, the Word of the Father. We can hear the Word, we can remember the Word, we can accumulate all the facts that go with the Word, but that does not mean even the slightest that we understand the Word, that we comprehend the Word, or that we have any use for the Word. It is through the Holy Spirit. You know, the apostles, prior to the coming of the Holy Spirit upon them on Pentecost Sunday, they were pretty much afraid. They did not have the power to speak. They did not have the power to preach. They did not have the power to go out and teach the people. But as soon as they were given the grace of the Holy Ghost, they burst forth like so many forces, fearlessly, and they proclaimed the Word of God. My beloved people, we do not pray enough to the Holy Ghost. This past Thursday, the holy day of obligation, we celebrated the ascension of our blessed Lord into heaven. Our blessed Lord did not leave us orphans. He did not leave us alone. Rather, he promised us that he would send the Spirit, which he did. Again, another reason perhaps for us to maybe downgrade the importance of the Spirit, because we may look upon him as a messenger. He is no messenger. He is God in every sense of the word, all-powerful as God is all-powerful, all-knowing as God is all-knowing. So let us, during these remaining days prior to the actual feast itself, let us celebrate, or let us rather meditate upon the virtues that we can obtain through the operation of the Holy Spirit in us. He is God. He is the Holy Ghost. He is all-powerful and all-knowing. We would not understand anything if it were not for the Holy Spirit himself. So let us pray to the Holy Spirit and ask him for all these things, so that our religion can become for us a true and meaningful experience, and not just an accumulation of facts and figures. It is a way of life. The Holy Spirit is the one who inspires us all, those of us who live within the city of God, my beloved people. My beloved people, I remind you that next Sunday is the first Sunday in June, and that I will not be here for Mass, and that I will go to Montgomery for Mass next Sunday. Also, that next Sunday is the Feast of the Blessed Trinity, and is a very special feast day. I remind you of this. But today is the Feast of the Holy Ghost. And together with Easter, this is the greatest feast of the year. Easter and Pentecost are the two greatest feasts of the entire year. And so we must come to an understanding of what it is that we might be speaking of today. If we speak of the Holy Ghost, when we ask the Holy Ghost to fill our hearts, we need this not for any emotional or any sentimental type of situation, but rather we ask this that we might come to a better grasp of the notion of God. We have a warped notion of God. And in this particular time in the history of man, the warped notion is more warped than ever before. It's not just a matter anymore, as we have been perhaps in past days and years, trying to stuff God into our own frame, which is somewhat like trying to put the Atlantic Ocean into a thimble. And so we come with a very weak, unintelligible notion of God. But today the notion of God is perhaps this. We don't really care if you can't stuff the Atlantic Ocean in a thimble. So what? At least in former times, we might have tried to put the ocean in a thimble. Now, we don't even care whether it fits or not. And thus, so it is with Almighty God. We want to have God, some of us do, but somehow or other we fall short. There's a little something in the bulletin today. It's not everything that's in the bulletin is original with me. I wish it were, but I am far from being smart enough to put some of the stuff in the bulletin that you find in the bulletin sometimes. So in all humility, I have to tell you that I am not capable of all this wise thinking that sometimes appears in the bulletin. But may I read this to you? It's on the front side. Like most of what we are capable of, we have a definition of the kingship of Christ in our minds. In our minds, but very little of it in our hearts. As long as it remains just a definition, we will always be on the outside of it. Never will we ever get into the inside of it and get to feel the glory and the utter magnificence of it all. We will always be cold. That's the problem, that we're cold. Is this God's fault? Or is it our fault? You know, today, the psychiatric trick is to put the blame on somebody else. It's never me. I have never done anything wrong in my entire life. Let this be clear about it. And if ever anything has happened that is wrong, that comes from my instrumentality, it's somebody else's fault. It's not mine. So let us understand that. I am perfect, and I have done nothing wrong. So therefore, if I don't understand God, it's not my fault. That's his fault. He should have done something about it long ago, not left me alone. And so I remain cold. And remaining cold in my attitude toward God, then I can give no significance to anything that is required that the love of God demands. Our problem probably is that our generation has really forgotten how to love. We have come to look upon love as something which is impure, and it has to have something carnal about it. That's not what we're talking about. There's nothing carnal about love when it comes to speaking of God. But we have forgotten how to love. We don't know how to love each other. We don't know how to love the children. The children don't know how to love their parents. The people don't know how to love each other. We don't know how to love God. We just don't know how to love. And everything has now become so computerized that it's a matter of pressing a button and the computer says love. It's as cold as that. Or the computer might tell you, try something else, this is not working. We do not anymore know what love is. And our religion is not prompted by love. It is prompted by something mechanical. Our religion is dominated by definition. We can tell you all the definitions that one needs to know about anything in our religion, but that's as far as it goes. You cannot define love. You have to be love. And if you are not love, is it any wonder that everything we do requires such an effort? We have to make ourselves pray. We have to make ourselves be charitable. We have to make ourselves be good in any way, shape, or form. It's all, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, or I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to do that. Love never forces me to do anything. If I truly love, I will instinctively know what it's all about. And I will be good because I love. I will be holy because I love. See, what we're doing right now is we're fighting unholiness rather than trying to instill holiness. If we were holy people, there would be no problem with abortion. But we're fighting abortion. We're trying to prevent abortion without instilling in ourselves the reason for not aborting. It's no wonder that it's not working. Or we're trying to fight impurity, or name it, just ungoodness. We should be trying to instill goodness. We should be trying to instill love. Without love, goodness makes no sense, does it? Without love, goodness makes no sense. And we have to be forced to be good. So, my beloved people, on this day of the Holy Ghost, we should pray for wisdom. Knowledge will come from that. We also pray for knowledge. But knowledge is not the thing that we should be so concerned about as it is the wisdom that we should be concerned about. Because there's too much of what we experience day after day that is a result of knowledge. But we're coming now to understand that knowledge can be contained in a box. And that knowledge is really an accumulation of facts. That knowledge is an accumulation of information. The box can't be good. The box doesn't know how to be good. We know how to be good. And we must strive to be good. Why? Because somebody told us to be good? Because we love. Love is charity. Charity is God. And this comes on a day like today. We should be fired. We should have the fire of love in our hearts. And then we will find that it is possible for us to be good, but we must love God. We must come to a grasping, a comprehension of God. We should not try to squeeze God into the thimble or into one of our frames. We should try to grasp him as he is. Until we do that, we shall be left cold. We shall be left empty. We shall have no reason to continue in the path that we are striving to continue. My beloved people, may you have a magnificent day today. It is not publicized that much, and for the average person today, Pentecost Sunday may just as well be Thanksgiving Thursday, or 4th of July, or not even that much. But Pentecost Sunday is a great day. It is a day that we should take advantage of, and that we should pray that God gives us grace. That is what we have to have, grace. Without grace, we cannot love. Without grace, we cannot be obedient. Without grace, we cannot be pure or chaste or celibate or anything else. So today is the day we can get these things, but we have to ask for them. And we have to ask for them in a way that can be heard by Almighty God. God does not listen to a demand. God, first of all, has to see if my heart is open for him to pour into it the things that we want. If our hearts are closed by pride, by self-will, by disobedience, it's like throwing water on a duck's back. Nothing happens. Today is the day that we should ask for the things that we need, my beloved people.